Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Michelle Manders, your host, broadcasting live from Johannesburg, South Africa. And as always, I have Faith, who is sitting in. Oops, sorry, volume went wrong.
Okay, so, I'm up.
Are you awake?
I'm up. Yeah.
Sorry about that, girlfriend. I woke myself up too. So, you're in, what did you call Hollywood this morning when I spoke to you?
Oh, I said, yes, I'm in Hollyweird.
That's it, Hollyweird. That was it. Now I remember, yes, thank you. It is a kind of weird day today. Faith and I were just chatting now before we went live on all the astrological things that we are trying to kind of like digest and face at the moment, and it's pretty intense. So welcome to all of you, our listeners, joining in with Faith and I today. Thank you very much. And we're just chatting about how this week has started off to be pretty rough, pretty tough, and astrologically, obviously, the answers do lie there. But Faith, you were about to start just talking about how you're feeling at the moment, and then we got our countdown to go live. So what's happening for you there in Hollyweird, as you call it?
Well, for me, I felt a very unusual wave of sadness that had really, I just don't understand. And it's a very frustrating sadness because I feel like I want to do so many things, but I feel like I don't have the bigger picture or the ability to see my way out. It's almost like I'm ready to go and do things, but there's nothing to do. That is a great way to put it. But of course there's something to do. There's always something you want to do, but it's like you just don't, you feel like you don't know what that is yet. The clarity isn't there, sense of purpose, why bother, all of these, the gremlins of your mind. I guess people know that term, right? Where you just have that little voice in your head that whatever those doubts are, I'm not good enough, I'm not educated enough, there isn't enough time, wherever you might feel like there's lack, I think is really being anything that, isn't of plenty, I guess. How about you?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Faith, it's just interesting listening to what you're saying there and looking at the astrology as you're talking, looking at the transit chart for today. And may I use your chart as an example with the the current retrograde? Okay. Mm-hmm. So if I just, look at your chart in conjunction with the transit chart and you describing how you're feeling, Saturn is currently retrograde in Sagittarius, and it's 1 degree of Sagittarius. So that Saturn retrograde has now retrograded over your Jupiter and over your Mercury and is coming up to conjoin your Sun in Scorpio. And this is creating immense shifts and changes for you, but on a very, very deep level, because it is actually getting you in a way to relook at all of your philosophies. What is your philosophy in life? How does that philosophy fulfill you? Is it actually what you need and what you want? And this is what the Saturn retrograde is asking us to do. Look at old philosophies, because he's sitting in Sagittarius. The minute he goes back into Scorpio, then it's about looking at what we associate with in terms of our power, our sexuality, our inner will, our drive, what's motivating us, what powers from the past have we remained attached to. And this is what you are having to address specifically on a personal level because of where that Saturn is retrograding. So it's your fourth house all the way into the third house. So it's your root, it's your base chakra, it's the very basis of the foundation of your life. Then going, retrograding into your third house, which is your environment. It is your communication, your mind, the way you think, the way things tick over. All of that must now be readdressed, reassessed, reevaluated. Then we've got the opposition to your 10th house, with Gemini on the cusp of your MC, where Mars, Mercury, and the Moon are all transiting through, and Mercury has just gone direct. You've got Mars in Gemini there. So emotions in terms of the Moon in Gemini, this sense of feeling sad, feeling split, wanting to go but can't go. This is Saturn retrograding, but then Mars in Gemini is wanting to push forward. It wants to gain some kind of clarity and cut loose from this self-doubt that, you know, that you feel from time to time, and that not being able to see both sides of the picture at the same time, that's Gemini. Gemini is not going to give you the whole picture all at once. It's only going to give you bits and pieces when it suits you. So what you're going through in terms of the way the planets are at the moment is described in perfectly in what you said, sharing with us where you are at. And that is how powerful astrology is. That is how precise it can be when you hear a story like you have just shared, and then we relate the story back through the astrology, and then it shows how where the heavens are right now communicating to us as we are and who and as who we are. It is a dance of transformation, or it is a kicking and screaming, being pulled along because we don't want to acknowledge what's happening. So, Faye, thank you very much for allowing me to use your chart as an example, because this is actually the perfect opening into our topic for today in terms of running the gauntlet. Because, you know, you as a person have got a beautiful chart. I mean, you've got all these dignified planets and what have you, but you've got natural squares in your own chart. And here you are with a transiting chart, you know, put over your chart, looking at the synastry in that sense. We can see why here and now is difficult, and how the here and now oppositions put on top of your chart, how that is pushing and pulling, and how it is, you know, cutting into your career, your vocation, your hopes, your dreams, your wishes. These are all things that I know are stirring deep inside of you, because I know you as a friend. So This is just another layer of confirming how powerful the art of astrology is, that it's a gift of empowerment. And when we can see that it is the natural law of nature that we are a part of, the heavens are communicating to us and through us. The seven visible planets are reflections of our seven chakras, and our seven chakras are part of the seven planets. Everything is connected, and when we really understand that, we can see then that the language of the heavens is sometimes a passionate, feisty, or opposing language, because there is something that it's trying to make us aware of. So we experience the tension within ourselves as these heavenly beings, these archetypes, these spiritual essences that we know as the planets communicate through us. And Mars in Gemini is communicating an ass of his power through you at this time because of how it's affecting your chart and where it is in your chart. So I cannot emphasize enough the value in understanding the art of astrology, not to become an astrologer as such, but to just understand the nature and dynamics of yourself. And my greatest insights, my deepest healing has come as a result of my knowledge of astrology, my knowledge of myself through my chart, and why things happen at times, and why things are happening at times. like we've just described with you. So, you know, if our listeners have access to an astrologer or, you know, have enough of their own sort of knowledge to go and do this, I would honestly suggest take the time out perhaps once a week just to have a look and see, you know, what's happening this week. So it's going to be tension. You know, Mercury is retrograde. Mars is in Gemini. And, you know, Mars-Mercury conjunction, there is going to be fighting with regards to communication. There is going to be some internalized, cutting ourselves up and trying to understand what it is that makes us tick, and then making a decision and then doubting that, and then, you know, getting all frustrated because we're doubting what we want to do, and we need to make a decision and we must move forward and drive ourselves absolutely batty with that inner dialogue, because the drive to go out and hunt and make things happen and communicate and what have you is in polar opposites to what Saturn is doing, and Saturn is going, slow down, stop, you have to be still and quiet now, reassess, reevaluate. Saturn is not going to allow us to rush off into the sunset and go and do what we need to do. He's saying, stop and look at what your old, outdated philosophies are before you can decide and feel confident in your ability to tackle more than one dimension of consciousness at the same time, which is what we will then be able to do if we listen to what Saturn is doing, honor what Mars is wanting us to do, and find the center point in that opposition in conjunction with what the retrograde Mercury is offering. So retrograde Mercury, we know, wants us to reassess and review. So we've got two planets in retrograde wanting us to do the same thing. Mars is wanting to pull ahead, but we can't. So if we can say to Mars, just give us the time to reassess the situation, once we have discovered a new solution, then we can move forward. Mars needs to know that he can move forward. But then you need to also satisfy Mars's curiosity and say, then in my ability to reevaluate situations, we can then step forward with our feet in both worlds, straddling both dimensions, and we can go out there and make things happen. Because I personally interpret Gemini's energy as being straddling two dimensions. Gemini in this new world post-2012 is a new vibration, as are all the other constellations and the planets. And this is part of the energy that I have been tapping into myself when I sit and work with these planets and the constellations, which is why I've come to absolutely love astrology so much, because no longer are we limited or inhibited by the traditional explanations of what these planets mean and what they're saying. We are now having to transcend the boundaries of those old traditions and outdated modes of thinking. We have to now travel forward in time. This is how my rising Aquarius works. I bring everything back. It's got to come ahead in time. How do I apply that here and now? If it's outdated, there needs to be a solution. There needs to be a higher octave. That is the way energy works, the way quantum physics works. So I strive to find the higher octave, because then I can believe and conceive that the pathway can move forward. So as I feel that conviction within myself that we can indeed transcend our fate and our karma, and we can rise above it, and with us now working towards reclaiming our avatar essence, which is what the Middle East and Hungary and Romania project is all about, as we reclaim our avatar essence, we then achieve that level of a complete self-awareness and self-empowerment, where no longer are our actions predicted by an astrology chart, because we have mastered the lessons of that lifetime. We have formed a 100% alliance with the seven planets, who formed an alliance with us at the beginning of our incarnation to help us master those lessons. So when we have seen the alliance consciously in the incarnated state as we are now, and we say, okay, so everything that I've experienced in my life has been the alliance that I agreed to form, or that I did form prior to my incarnation, and the planets, these advanced beings that we call planets, collaborated with me and helped me achieve what I wanted to achieve. So now I stand alongside these tremendous beings, giving thanks for the joy of mastering the plan together. And it's the next level of wherever it is that we're going to go, or where we automatically just gravitate towards, because we have done we've done what we came to do. And what I've realized is a lot of people, and this is perhaps the big transition that a lot of us are having to make as well, is that we have settled into a reincarnation comfort zone. We have settled into a comfort zone of believing that we might not get it right in this lifetime. And ascension, as we have come to know it through what the ascended masters have taught us, is probably not something we'll experience in this lifetime, because we are nowhere near that. So this is the background program running, the background programming that you so often speak about, Faith. And when I realized that that is the kind of background programming running in the back of really powerful, very gifted light workers and light warriors, I had to go, oh, fuck, hold the phone, no, damn, we can't let this happen, you know. It's we need to prove somehow to these very gifted, very powerful, yet very wounded and exhausted light workers and light warriors that now is that stretch that we mustn't give up. This is the proverbial last stretch before we win the race. And I am seeing, thanks to the gift of astrology, how much I am achieving and how much further I am able to go. And the other incredible gift I received from the onset of this project, and I mean, we haven't even started with the publishing the series channeling, but the 5 weeks that I spent putting all the Core Guardians readings together was such an incredible time for me, because I thought to myself, you know what, here I am working with, I think it was 66, 67 of us, 66 incredible souls. And it might only be 66 people who have chosen to work on the project at this level of courage and power. But you know what? It is 66 brave souls who I know are exact mirrors of me. And because of that, I love every single one of them. And it doesn't matter if it only ever remains only 66 people who I spend the rest of my career working with, putting together these readings, helping you guys understand how your astrology works, teaching the classes that I teach, watching how your hearts and your lives are opening up exactly the same way mine is. For the first time in my career, I am going through the most amazing healing, awakening, this incredible giving into life. Not giving up, not surrendering, but just giving into life and experiencing what it means to be living life, and seeing how every person that I am working with, every person whose life I am touching through my energy, because of the readings I'm putting together, the channelings I'm putting out, the radio shows that we're doing, because of all of this, there are 66 people on this planet who are experiencing the heart-expanding changes that I'm going through. And that is all I have ever wanted for every single person who has ever followed in my footsteps or chosen to support me in the work that I do. And there is no amount of money that can measure this level of satisfaction. So for me, it was such an incredible realization that it doesn't matter if I never become world famous. I don't care. I don't care if, you know, my name never appears on frigging Oprah Winfrey's Hot 100 or whatever the case may be. All that matters is that I touch enough people's lives to feel what I'm feeling, and that you go forward and you touch people with the same energy that we are conjuring up together here, this powerful light, this incredible love. And that means in however many lifetimes' time, the whole planet will be feeling like that, because I was able to touch 66 people's lives and they did the same thing. And it doesn't matter where it started, because it started with someone before me, people whose work I fell in love with. Louise L. Hay changed my life. She saved my life. And because of her, here I am right now. So we could all say, well, thank you, Louise L. Hay. And we can say thank you to some of the people who I consider, or perhaps who consider me their arch rivals, their worst nightmare, consider me enemies. And I look to them and I say, you know what, thank you for what you taught me. You know, the woman who, Anita Noy Smith, she taught me astrology. And I say thank you to her for this incredible gift that she gave me. And it is astrology that has helped me see myself. And it is all these astrology combined with everything that we're doing in terms of working on ourselves, working in the projects, the bond that's being formed between a group of souls who I really have come to trust, and I can feel how the guardians are trusting one another. The healing that is taking place amongst our group is phenomenal. It is, there's no testimonial that can ever be written to convince anyone of what we are doing here at Palace of Peace and what we're doing as the projects. And I don't need to let people know, because I know when people are ready to feel what we are feeling, they're going to find us. And that's all okay. And Faith, you have got so much talent. You are such a powerful light worker, and you are one of the light workers that I want to reach out to say. And not only are you a light worker, you're a light warrior as well, Faith. And don't give up, sister. You have faced so much. You are facing so much, and you are just having to be strong for so many people. And no one's there to be strong for Faith while you've got to handle all of this. And that's where I want you to know that I am there, and you know that, but that the whole core group, we're here to hold you. And there's a lot of people out there feeling like you do and like you are now, but don't ever give up. Not ever. Because it's your love and support, you, Faith, and the rest of the people who support my work, the people who are listening to our show now, it's because of all of you that I have conquered all the things that I have, that I can sit now and talk about people that in the past I did not even want to breathe their names, but now I can sit in gratitude and love and acceptance and say thank you for what you gave me. It's because of all you guys, your love and support, that I could get there. So I want you to, Faith, just take some of that as well for yourself. And, you know, everyone out there who's feeling low and tired and, you know, just don't know if I can carry on with this anymore and how much more of this must I take. This is what running the gauntlet is about. And running the gauntlet is not there to destroy us, as we know, but it's going to teach us about who we really are, what we really made of. And I am in awe of my own journey of healing. And perhaps the biggest gift that I got was when I was diagnosed with a stage 3 melanoma cancer in November last year. My entire life has changed since then. But as I always say, you don't have to manifest a life-threatening disease to fall in love with life. maybe see your current crisis as that, as your cancer, as Kutumi Agrippa and Mary Magdalene spoke at length about it during the project when I had my cancer, which was what, the Morocco project, right, Faith? Was
yeah.
it the Morocco or the one before that? And
oh.
I think that was also so powerful. I can't remember if it was, I was diagnosed with cancer in November. So yes, it was Morocco project,
right?
Yeah, it was
Morocco,
right?
Yes. Yeah.
And I think this is, again, what we need to remind ourselves of and, you know, everyone else, that, you know, crisis that we have that really shakes us up, that is our cancer scare, like Kutumi Agrippa said. Make that your cancer scare and just, you know, reevaluate, reassess, regroup. And we've got Saturn and Mercury both retrograde at the moment, currently opposing each other, which is pulling us in two directions. But if we could just say, you know, let go of both ends of the elastic and just let ourselves stand in the middle with Saturn on one side, Mercury on the other side, and just listen. So we listen to the mind chatter, listen to the fears. What are the philosophies? What is it from our past? What is it that is outdated, that no longer is the new philosophy in life? We are working towards completely integrating. And this is when that old world suddenly starts to disintegrate beneath your feet. That, you know, if you think of Lord of the Rings kind of movie or something like that, and suddenly there's this vast chasm going between nowhere and nowhere, but there are these floating rocks across this vast chasm, and you know, you start running across it and suddenly the rocks start to disappear before you, and the next minute you know there you are, you know, falling into the abyss. And this is what's happening at the moment. It's like people are running on a treadmill trying to outrun, you know, all these rocks falling out beneath their feet in the form of the old world disintegrating, but they still feel there's nothing to cling onto in the future. There's no new world there. So what's happening now is they are in absolute terror and panic because they're realizing now they're falling into the abyss. There's nothing anymore. There's nothing beneath them. There's nothing. It's just the abyss. But it's in that free fall when we realize that there's nothing, well, I'm going to die now, this is the end, we suddenly, you know, it all changes and it's not the end and the beginning is revealed. And that's where we are. And running the gauntlet can be so painful. But what I'm finding now is the intensity of those moments of challenge are so intense and so painful. But then the rush of the realization and the epiphanies afterwards is starting to become more of a high, if I can call it that, than the wanting to not feel the intensity of going through a change and overcoming it. So that feel-good hormone or that feel-goodness of the change happening is now outweighing my fear of having to go through a tough situation just because it's going to hurt and just because it's going to be, because it's so intense. Does that make sense?
Yes, and thank you, by the way, for all your generous comments and love and support. It really is an amazing group, and the beauty of being light warriors and light workers and this show is so that we don't feel alone and know that we can completely relate to these feelings regardless of where you are on this path, and to know that it's just temporary. You know, it really becomes this, you got to take control of your thoughts. You know, it's, even though it's all of this chatter going on, it's just being very aware, which is what you talked about. And to really look at the network that you have around you that's either supporting you or not. And it's really worth it. You know, it's hard when you're in it to remember that. But as you said, astrology is very empowering. And the first thing I do is I look at what is animating me, what am I feeling, and being honest with it. But unless you know that it's important to be an observer. It will really take you down. It's going to run your show instead of you running your show. And I think that we take that for granted because of the work we do as part of the 66 people, that we know that it's important to really observe. Even if nothing is retrograde, if you're not observing, if you're not able to just stop and really see what's going on around you and what might be an old program that isn't serving you anymore, these are really effective tools so that you don't lose hope. Because there's a line I really like that says, hope becomes faith and faith becomes reality. All these things are really serving that purpose to trust again and to have faith. And as you know, that is my, that's probably the biggest thing that keeps me going, that and love. I just know that they're an endless supply, and it's up to me to heal whatever is the wet army blanket that's blocking me from that. You know, what are the programs that have been running over the years of your life? Some you were born with, some were in your childhood, some recently. And I find that if looking at yourself, the observation, and honestly looking at what you're feeling and your anger and your frustrations, they really are the key to what your higher parts of yourself would like you to acknowledge to be set free from. It's that, the light of information, you know. I often get, it really melts my heart when I wonder, what do people do when they don't know what we know? You know, I just hope that they find the work that you do, that I do, other people do, to really help on this journey. So that, as you mentioned before, we have a group that is very supportive of each other. It's wonderful to find people that you can talk to that don't sit in judgment of you. And understand that whatever you're judging and criticizing is just a projection of something that your soul wants you to see inside of yourself. Even a compliment is the same way. And just really remembering that we are spiritual beings that happen to be in human form, that we want to manifest something here. And there's probably something that we need to let go of, and just being reminded of that. And, you know, Saturn is all about your fears, and Mars, as its minion, you know, likes to stir things up and destroy too. And then you've got Gemini, who likes to play tricks on you. And whatever you're thinking, whatever is conning you out of living a life that you really want to live, has to come out so that we can be creators in this new world. And because Mercury is retrograde in my natal chart, I'm used to it. You know, I'm not afraid of it, and I know firsthand that clarity, my abilities heighten. I try to focus on relaxing, like you said before, and I know that I will come out of this much more calm and more in charge of the intellect, and it's serving the higher parts of me instead of running amok with these little gremlin voices. And truly knowing yourself is so important. Even if you don't know an astrologer, go to a free website. All you need is the time of your birth and where you were born, and get an idea of where Saturn is in your chart, where is Mercury in your chart, where is Mars in your chart, and then Google whatever it is. In my case, Mercury in Sagittarius, and then learn about what that looks like for you and how that feels, and then you can understand more what's going on. And I just did a deep dive in late into the night into the astrology to really help me sort through so that I could manage myself more effectively, because I don't go down with the ship ever, and it won't take me down. And, you know, I'm just very appreciative of you, what you've done, and being in Hollywood, listening to you talk about fame, I think is very interesting. We talked about that, I think, in the Namibia trip, where learning to be the star of our own play. It's not being world famous, and that's part of the trick, isn't it, to believe that unless you are, your body's perfect, your voice is perfect, your skin is perfect, your weight is perfect, blah, 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 you're not worthy. These are the things that we're shattering. And if you give up on yourself, remember, doing it for others motivates light workers more than it does a lot of times, right? We're just so, you know, into what we've got to serve, we've got to serve, whatever it's going to take to help set you back on your feet or to let you rest and to look at this stuff, to know that through healing yourself is how we change everything, because we touch so many lives. We go back, you know, into, we leave this show and or the people that we're talking to or our families, we touch our community. It's just very important to have some sort of routine and process to help deal with these difficult times, especially if you're challenged with faith. I think it's difficult. And there's a really good practice that a visualization. Just imagine yourself in the middle of space holding on to a rope and just see yourself holding on to that rope and maybe seeing the beauty of the universe, seeing the stars, whatever you think that beauty is. And now God tells you, or goddess or spirit tells you, to let go. What does that feel like? You know, it's a great indication of what your trust may be. So doing things like that can really help you kind of get your arms around where that is, because trust in yourself and trust in spirit really do reflect one another. So I do really appreciate your comments about the seven planets reflecting our seven chakras and how we are here wanting to manifest something on Earth. Please remember that everything serves a purpose, and our purpose is in this moment right now, and to really allow yourself to feel whatever you're feeling, no matter how yucky, and know that it's really helping you see something that needs more than a Band-Aid, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what, Faith? One thing that I have found myself choosing, and this has also been since the Namibia project, since I came back from Namibia, that it's been at this degree of healing that I'm feeling too. And the one couple of weeks ago, I was doing my usual sort of walking meditation around my garden and connecting with spirit and all of that, and suddenly I decided from this moment forward, if life is about, you know, reincarnation and, you know, cause and effect and all of that, regardless of where my future is going, whether it is another lifetime on Earth or whether it's anywhere else, it doesn't matter where, I don't care. I am making sure that from this moment forward, I am consciously considering what my future life is going to be about. So I am now preparing for my next life. So what I am doing, I'm making sure that the energy is great. So if this is what I'm going to do now, and I'm preparing for my next life, wherever that may be, I'm going to make sure it is going to be the best that I can make it to be now. So everything that I do in every moment needs to be focused around love and peace and harmony to the best of my ability in those moments. And when I don't behave the way I would like myself to be, I will always make the effort to then make sure that I sort everything out. So, it's been such an interesting experiment so far, because I'm finding it becoming a lot easier to choose happiness and clarity and calm over and above the stress and tension that, you know, you sometimes feel, the overwhelm, because, oh my gosh, I've got so much to do, but, you know, there's teaching classes and it's this to do and it's that to do and time carries on. So you got to pull the rope back in, and it is being that aware of what you are doing in each moment, indirectly, without any effort, effortlessly keeps you in the moment, because you're just being aware of what's happening in each moment. So I'm feeling this now. And like you were saying earlier on, Faith, you know, when something another person does that we're uncomfortable with or we don't like, you got to own it in yourself all the time. And if you are doing that on a consistent basis, you will not waste a lot of time worrying about the future or concerning yourself about what's going to happen or what other people are going to think or say, because you are going to be concentrating on, you know, what the solution is, what the reflection is, how do I change this? How do I raise my vibration? How do I transcend this? And that keeps you in the moment. It's kind of like a constant self-checking. And for me, it's been absolutely amazing in terms of keeping me grounded and focused on what's happening here and now. So in terms of, you know, running the gauntlet stuff and, you know, dealing with the intensity of these challenges and how it feels like we want to lose our minds, it's when you're holding yourself in check like that constantly, you begin to see that the challenges are just stepping stones to something completely different. But if you're going to constantly run the same gauntlet all the time and you're not learning anything from it, you know, there's going to come a time where people are going to give up, because there is going to seem like there's no light at the end of the tunnel. And I don't know about you, Faith, but I've most certainly found out seen with the classes I'm giving, people I'm talking to, emails I get, it's people are ready for something different. They want the change, but it's daunting. It's what am I going for? Is what I am going for, does it really exist? So carry on, Faith.
I'm sorry. Yes, I think that people are really feeling that I'm talking to and listening to. They want to really understand. They feel like they don't have a purpose here anymore because of the state of jobs, school, things that are very limiting or limited. And so it's kind of hard to figure out where you fit in. And these retrogrades are really impacting our ability to see that bigger picture. And that daunting, I think, just gets intensified. Would you agree?
Absolutely. But that's why I found, well, look, I also found that dauntingness, it was, you know, you'd wake up with that knot in your solar plexus, wake up feeling anxious, and it's almost like you're expecting just everything to go wrong for the day. You just terrible knot in your stomach. Have you woken up like that before, Faith?
Yes, and in the middle of the night.
Yes, yes. And for me, that became also just, I couldn't bear it anymore. And I had to find a way that I could wake up in the morning and not feel that clamp around my solar plexus of, oh my God, yes, another day of dealing with all of this drama and challenge and that feeling of it's another day of running the gauntlet. So that intensity, that daunting feeling is actually what pushed me to the degree where I had to now say, okay, the only way I can do this is when I catch myself feeling a negative feeling, thinking a negative thought, or rewinding the tape on an old issue, I'm going to stop myself there and then, and I'm going to have to insert something new, but I'm going to have to do it consciously. So I did it that way, and I've been doing it for a long time, but for me, it's most certainly, I can say, I can see that it's working now. And but I've had to also change, and I think this is where a lot of people maybe don't realize, is I've had to make a lot of change in my home environment as well. I mean, my family has had to adjust to my choice to live a life that is filled with peace and harmony, you know, drama-free, as, you know, yes, life's challenges will come, we'll deal with that, but unnecessary nonsense and drama, I will not have that in my home. And I yes. have now become pedantic about the energy that is brought into my home. So my family adjusting to that was a huge challenge for me as well, because, you know, it was... The pain for me was real. The frustration for me was real. And, I mean, the one day I caught myself looking at my family. They were looking at me with these big eyes. And I was in tears, frustrated, saying, you know how important it is for me to have peace and harmony in my home because it's part of how I need to keep myself healthy. And with you fighting and bickering all the time, I feel that I mean nothing to you. I feel meaningless. It feels like you don't love me because all I'm asking is for peace and harmony, and all you do is fight. You goddamn don't stop fighting.
And I remember that.
I love
you. You want me to die?
I went into the complete Greek mama, Jewish mama, you are going to kill me, act, you know. It could be Greek mama, Jewish mama, Italian mama. I was all of them, okay. But that's what my family needed from me to drive home the fact that I am serious about what I want. And then I realized, oh my gosh, I really am serious about this. Mm-hmm. I was so serious about it that I was now commanding that this be respected in my home. And this is the length that we need to go to at times by telling everyone around us, excuse me, hold the phone. You know, it is to this point and no further. You know, we all share this home together. I am the mother. I keep the family, you know, nurtured, I keep this energy going, and if you want this energy from me, my home environment needs to support me to be able to do this. And I've had to, you know, put in a whole new set of rules and disciplines with my children. The entire attitude towards it had to change, and that is part of running the gauntlet. That is part of, you know, taking this process of change and getting everything in our life to work with us. So we do everything that we can too with ourselves, but then it comes a point where the external environment needs to meet us halfway. And this is, I think, where a lot of people get confused around unconditional love. So what is unconditional love? Do you just let people, like in my situation, do I just let my family continue, you know, the children bickering and fighting, you know, irritating my husband, and then he's always moaning at them because they're never doing what they're supposed to be doing, and I just couldn't bear it anymore, this tension between them, and I had to draw that line. And It was unconditional love for my family in the sense that, yes, that is what happens in families, and yes, we do have occasional issues, and that is fine, but the constant bombardment towards my energy field, I could not take anymore, and I had to show myself that I love myself enough to say to the rest of my family, excuse me, where's the unconditional love in this? Where is the acceptance of what I need, you know? And it had to change the external environment's vibration to start working in unison with mine. And I think that's probably the first time really in my life where I've stood up and said, you know, this is for me because it's for the highest good of everyone. And I've now had to drive that change. And that I also know for a lot of people can be very challenging because it's scary, you know, especially if it's a woman who has quite a dominant husband and who is perhaps not into any kind of spiritual, you know, peace and happiness and negative energy and good energy in the home. And, you know, the children just run riots. It's hard, but that is the lengths that we need to go to in order to find that stillness, that center point, you know, in the midst of that all-consuming pain or frustration. We have to then act on what will ease the pain. And it has to be authentic and sincere. You know, not, I mean, like, for goodness sake, you know, just saying, okay, well, we're not going to do this because I just want to keep the peace. And then you're still in pain. Not so, Faith. People need to understand that fine line as well between being the martyr and between standing their ground.
Yes. And I think it's really starting with unconditional love means respect too, you know. And I did the same thing with my family many, many years ago. In fact, I think it was in 2010. I think I remember the date. It was April Fool's Day. About the importance of people respecting one another. We all knew we love each other, but to really understand that we each owe it to ourselves to be our authentic self. And let's discover who that is in the safety of our home, which is a place that's supposed to be where one can expand, feel safe, be nurtured, rest. You know, it's where you come in and recharge your batteries. I tell people it's like we're all walking laptops or cell phones. At some point, you got to come home and plug into source. So what is that, you know, for you, and how is that in your home? And sometimes, and as you said before, there are people with varying degrees of abuse in their homes, and it's a baby step. It's something, you know, but if you feel it inside of yourself first, it's the law of fair exchange. It has to start inside you first, and then it goes to your family.
Absolutely. And sorry to interject there, Faith, because with you saying, you know, people being in, you know, perhaps situations, perhaps where there's domestic violence and they can't get out of the situation, I was in that situation. And that's when I found the Louise L. Hay book. And to anyone who's listening or who comes to listen to the show, and if you're in a situation where there is domestic violence, and you know this, you cannot get out of the situation. Perhaps financially you can't do it either. What I did was when I found that Louise L. Hay book, over a period, it took me 2 years. And for 2 years, I basically bit the bullet and put up with the beatings and what have you. But during those 2 years, I was building up my own sense of self-worth. I was reminding myself that this is not what I deserved. And although I was still there, I was creating the means to get out of it. And it took me 2 years, but I did. And when I walked out, I never went back. He withheld all financial support from me. He would not pay any kind of maintenance for my son, nothing. He tried to cripple me financially, but I had already set everything in place. So it is possible, and if it means that it's going to take you 2 years, then so be it. But start today. You can do it. And the way your life will change afterwards will be beyond your wildest imagination. But start planning for it now. Get in touch with people that can help you. I did that as well. And it can be done. So, sorry, Faith, I just wanted to interject and just put that little piece in there. So if there are any people out there saying, you know, they are running this gauntlet, but they can't get out because of whatever, even if it takes 2 years, get started now. Thank you, Faith.
Oh, no, thank you. It's more common than people are aware. It can be subtle. It can be non-physical. It can be just so many ways. This is really important. And know that it's showing you where you can, I don't want it to sound corny, but I don't know how else to say it. All of these things are showing where love is lacking. It's fear, and you cannot have two, both of those can exist in the same space. And it does start with you, and to understand and really, really understand that you are a divine child of the one and only true Father God and Mother Goddess of the Light. That is the truth. And maybe this Mercury retrograde and the Saturn retrograde will help you see that. You know, whatever those tricks are that make you think that there's no way out, these are not the old times. This is post-2012. We can rise above these challenges. And these challenges are your path. It's no one's business but yours. And there are people there who can help you. And to just, please, you know, find yourself. Find that light, that little spark inside of you. Think about people that you care about that have paid you a compliment. Write that down. People say things because they can see it in you. It's something that your soul would really like you to see. Really give your attention differently to how you look at yourself. And it really means that's the tough work of creating that new way of life for yourself and a new habit. You know, sometimes some people get motivated by somebody saying, you'll never make it, you'll always be nothing, you're nothing, you'll whatever it is. Some people say, I accept that challenge, I'm going to show you. And what you're doing is, you know, beginning this incredible path of healing. For me, I found the Saint Germain books and how he describes there's nothing more powerful than the power of love. And that just struck a chord in me. And I looked to see how I could make that my reality. And it really does come with you setting your own boundaries about yourself, you know, that you'll only accept loving actions towards yourself. And that when you beat yourself up, write those things down so that you can look at them and then look at the opposite of it and find evidence to be true. Whatever that is, it really does take a process. I don't mean to sound insensitive, but you went through it. You had a process, and it worked. Whatever it's going to be for whatever it is, right? I think that's the point. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. And, you know, just to clarify, when I said it took me 2 years, I had not been with my husband at the time for only 2 years. It was 7 years into the marriage. So it had already been 7 years of domestic violence and emotional torment like you cannot believe before I found the Louise L. Hay book. And then I stuck around for another 2 years to build myself up. So it was a total of 9 years. But the hardest thing was changing the brainwashing that I'd received during those first 7 years of being with him. And I know for people who are in, you know, situations where it's either physical, emotional, mental abuse, that is the most difficult thing, is to get past that program that runs in the back that, you know, you'll never do better than that, or, you know, there's no one that is there for you. And this is not just domestic marriage situations. There are, you know, children who, or teenagers who are in relationships like this with parents. It could be someone who's experienced a relationship like this in the workplace. It could be between a student and a teacher. It could be peers at school. You know, there are so many scenarios that fit that generic blueprint in terms of, you know, no matter how long it takes, do what you can do to get out of the situation or to solve the situation. Bullying, whatever it may be, these all fall into those categories. And, you know, that is part of, I see all of these kinds of challenges as part of life's running the gauntlet. And so many people are feel powerless to being helped, and I think that's the number one culprit in people remaining in whatever difficult situation they may be, the marriage, the job, the friendship, the whatever it may be, is feeling that they are powerless to effect any kind of change or get out there and make something positive happen. So it's just quite an eye-opener when we see how easily fear just takes over and rules the planet. And when I came to that realization on a really more conscious level for myself, you know, when you have those aha moments and no longer is it just a thought in the concept in the mind, now your whole body kind of like gets it, you know, it's like, oh yes, now I, you know, it's like, oh,
yes.
Okay. It's like, yes. That's when I thought, you know, screw that, I'm not letting fear rule everything, you know, I choose love, and this has been part of the journey, and it is,
you know,
most certainly
I love that.
Getting better and better.
I love that, you know, that what is that, Sir Anthony Hopkins, you know how they, on Facebook you'll see the same expression, you know, over and over again. I love Sir Anthony Hopkins, and I don't remember the exact quote, but he said basically, you know, he does what he does because he loves to do what he does in his life, and it's none of his business what other people say about him or think about him. And what I really love about that is, you know, it takes time to get to that place, but to me what helped me get to that place several years ago, you know, as that gets better and better for me, is the insight to know that what people are saying is really, they're showing you their deepest inner fears and how they feel about themselves. It really has nothing to do with him. He's an actor, for God's sakes, you know? And when you realize that that's what that statement means, you know, it just shows you that their fears are in charge and here's how they really feel about themselves. It can help you shift when you're going this running the gauntlet. You know, just reminding yourself that people are people. We're human beings, and we all came with our own set of, you know, being not worthy, being abandoned, joining in the abandonment because we're agreeing with what people are saying, whatever that is, and to give yourself the space to sit back and just really, that awareness can be priceless. So instead of, you know, I hope that after today and just listening to you and I talk, that when you do feel like you can't do this anymore, it means you're really at a threshold of breaking through something. It's a big indication that some big heavy crap is about to leave, and you're going to be able, if you are willing, to see what that experience brought you. That's wisdom. And like you said, you know, you're looking back and you're grateful to the people now and thank them, then you know that that's healed. You know, they were your biggest spiritual teachers. And if you can really look at that, you can set up the proper boundaries, have respect for yourself, treat yourself lovingly, and you'll rise above that and look back and say, wow, I never thought. Like, look at you now, Michelle. You're extremely happy in a marriage. I mean, you're extremely successful, helping out many people who touch many people's lives, you know, and thanks to a book that Louise Hayes wrote. I mean, there's so many things that each one of us listening and that we interact with, we all have our talents that are here to help everyone else. But until we can really help ourselves and see the wisdom of what all of these experiences are teaching us, you know, we'll just remain in that trap. But know that you're going to have a major breakthrough, I think, is very key to hold on to. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, the other thing is that I am so blessed, or just so blessed and so happy that I can sit here speaking with you, Faith, and chatting with our listeners and say, you know what? There is light at the end of the tunnel. There is light within the dark. And you know what? The running the gauntlet does eventually come to an end, where it's not that constant treadmill gauntlet that we are running all the time. Eventually it comes to a place where it's these little quick every now and then. You know, you've just got to dodge something here or dodge something there. But your senses have become so acute to when, you know, how energy needs to be handled, that you manage it. And it's still challenging. It still hurts. You still have frustrations. There's still things that, you know, will freak me out or piss me off, or, you know, get me snorting like, you know, a bull in a china shop. But it's short-lived. It's not this incessant, never-ending nightmare that drives me to my knees, screaming to God, you know, where the fuck are you? And is this one big fucking joke? And is this what it's all about? And is this what it's all about? I don't want to be here. I don't want to do this with you anymore. I'm not playing with you anymore. Mm. You know, those were the moments that I had. And that was so heart-wrenching that it got to a point on a number of occasions where I would just be absolutely repulsed by the thought of having to go through another meltdown like that. And those were the times where I just wanted to give up. Those were the times where you guys, you and the rest of the people that, you know, love and support me, just said, don't give up now, Michelle. You know, this is what you offer.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, it pushed me through. And then I would rise above that, take a breath and go, oh my goodness, that feels so much better. You know what? Actually, I'm glad I went through this. Oh, shit, here comes the next one. Oh, God, no, you know. And it was that kind of process. But, yes, it was coming fast and furious. But eventually, I think November last year, cancer was kind of like the final nail for me. But it wasn't a nail in the coffin of saying, I'm not doing this work anymore. For me, it was, okay, my doctors are telling me this is the most aggressive form of skin cancer, and I could very possibly die. So, right, and this is the treatment they want me to do, and that will definitely kill me if I do that treatment. So what is left? The only thing is left, now I've got to see if this really works, and I have to apply it to my own life. And that's what I did, Faith. And, wow, here I am. That started November. So November, December, January, February, March, April, May, 6 months. In 6 months, I proved to myself, or convinced myself rather, not proved, convinced myself that what the masters present through me, the energies that work through me, all the stuff that I applied, my own teachings and all of that, it absolutely does change your life completely. And
thank God.
So that is why, yes, and that is why I say don't ever give up, because there have been many times I wanted to give up. I kind of like did give up, but, you know, picked myself up again. And it's worth it. It's worth just pushing through. It is, rather than pull away from the pain, rather than pull away from the fear and the anxiety, the more we do that, it's kind of like the more we try and hold, we hold life at a distance. It's pushing all of life away because it's just too painful. It's too sore. And when we keep on pushing against life with our hands firmly against that wall, you imagine pushing against someone's chest and they're pushing against you and you're pushing with all of your strength. You don't want them anywhere near you. That is how I was pushing up against life, because it was just too painful. It was just too dramatic. It was too overwhelming. It was just too much. And it got the better of me. And that is why just giving into life is so different. And yes, it's intense in the moment. It's hurting in the moment. You know, you're feeling the fear, you're feeling the frustration, the anger, the pain, whatever it may be. But when you work through it, rather work into it and work through it rather than trying to run away from it, it clears so quickly. And then it's this huge relief. And even when the next level comes, you find that you start gaining momentum. It's like you start this jog, you know, and you're kind of like doing it in your stride. So a situation comes up, you deal with it. Yes, it's painful. That was frustrating. That was a shitty week. I didn't like yesterday. Oh, I had a terrible day. Or it was, oh my God, was that a horrible month, you know. But we get through it. But the feeling of satisfaction and completion as we, you know, ascend these levels, like we were talking in last week's show, how we just keep on ascending these levels of our own of our own journey, and that's what's so worth it at the end of the day as well.
You know, it's the archetype that we forget, you know, that there's the other side of it, like Saturn being your fears, but the other extreme is the wisdom. He's the teacher. You know, Lord Kronos. So, you know, I know I've mentioned it before, but please, you know, go to palaceofpeace.net, go to the 55 Cosmic Laws tab on the right, and go visit the Law of Saturn. Go visit the Law of Darkness. Go visit the Law of Programming. Take a look at the amazing insight about life here. It's worth it. Just the aha moments to, you know, to me, knowledge is power. But that, again, is my third house sun in Scorpio. So I believe knowledge will transform you. It will take that base element and turn it into gold, you know. And it works for me. It works for my clients. It works for my family, my friends. Really empower yourself to know that that shift is possible and that we came here for the experiences because of all the many lifetimes and things that we've been through. Nothing is meant to do us in. This is why the expression that God doesn't give you more than you can handle, and it may feel like that right now or at particular times in your life, but it can also be an opportunity to humble yourself. You know, maybe there's an area in your life that we need to step back and just feel that humbleness. There's so much power in feeling humble. That's where peace is, and unconditional love. It's a very amazing feeling, and especially if you want to take action in the world and make a difference, it's very important to feel that. So that you can have more of what you enjoy come to you, and that abundance. So maybe there's a humbling experience that you're going through or about to recognize. There's always a beauty of something, something that might need to come down so the new can be built. But that cancer was huge for you, that whole process. It just seems surreal. I remember it vividly, and as your friend and somebody that just adores you, I was just in shock, but I knew it was not going to take you down. It just didn't make sense. And somebody who's so connected to the earth, you know, I just felt like there was some message there, and it's the toxic earth. You're helping heal that. You look at you. How do you feel physically? I mean, how do you feel about, you know, talk about that if you don't mind for a moment. You know, where were you then, and where are you now about how you feel about yourself or whatever your epiphany is from that?
Well, I think the biggest thing for me, Faith, was that when my surgeon was sitting in front of me and telling me I had to prepare myself for the worst because it was in the lymph nodes, and that was not a good sign at all because, you know, that's automatically stage three. And, you know, he really just didn't paint a picture, a positive picture at all. I was I was in shock beyond anything that I could even begin to try and explain. You cannot comprehend that shock. And I think it was the first time probably in my entire life that I was fully in my body, like just there. And when the thing is, I had the surgery, I then still had to wait another, it felt like, I think it was 6 or 7 days before I got the results to know if it really was cancer. And there was a very good friend of mine who broke the news to me. And when she told me that, yes, it is, the test, everything came back positive, it was like the entire bottom of my world fell out.
Oh.
But that was the first time in my life that I said to myself, I want to live. I'm not ready to go. But I had been living with a death wish ever since I could remember. So that is what cancer did for me. It made me, the biggest thing for me is I want to live. I want to be on this earth. It's enough of the suicidal thoughts and all of the shit that I used to entertain before then. It is now time to grow up, or, yes, let it take me out and leave my children and my husband behind, you know. So, and also making a choice to go 100% natural, and the protocol that I follow, I'm feeling really happy, and I think for the first time in my life, I'm actually thinking of myself. So the gifts have been awesome. You know, I've really seen myself in a new way. I've come to love and accept myself in a new way as well. I made some extremely liberating choices. You guys have actually followed me through this. I mean, a couple of weeks ago or a month or so ago, where I just bared my soul on air, that was another major turning point for me. That was a huge turning point for me, because it was the first time I'd ever done that, and it was that authentic. It was absolutely 100% from my heart. And as a result, it shifted something huge for me. So 6 months, my life has changed dramatically. It has not been 100% free-flowing at all, because the beginning of this year, January to where we are now, was extremely, well, until the beginning of April, was very, very challenging. But it is getting better. But there are still the little hiccups along the way. But those hiccups don't last long enough to get me to the point of despondency or helplessness and hopelessness that I used to experience prior to this. So it's been an extraordinary journey, an absolutely extraordinary journey. And, you know, that's part of my gauntlet that I had to run. And as I say, you know, all our gauntlets are different, but as long as we don't give up, and as long as we reach out for help when we feel we can't do it anymore, or, you know, even if it's just like saying, this is how I'm feeling and I can't do this anymore, and just seeing how people will be there to respond, will be there to support. But remember, don't use it as a crutch. Don't make it an excuse. Feel the fear, but go ahead and do it anyway. And that is the huge challenge for us at this stage of the game, where we are post-2012. We are clear of the karmic slates of the past. We are now genuinely 100% for real, creating our new experience of life. It looks like the world prior to December 2012. It feels like it. You know, things are still happening, but the energy is different, and what we are creating for ourselves is changing. And it's so hard to put into words how that change is going to manifest, because that doesn't matter. What matters is everything that we're doing right now, because everything that we are doing right now in this moment is determining what that future is going to be. And that piece of information, that bit of what is happening right here and now, is the most important aspect of our spiritual awakening and our self-embracing and taking responsibility for our lives. That is why it's so important, because we are literally writing the script for this new play. It's what we're doing right now. So there is no room for, you know, complacency or procrastination or, you know, just indifference. What's the matter if I do this because the world's, you know, just shot to shit anyway, and why must we even bother, you know? For goodness sake, we, you know, this is the kinds of things that is then going to be what carries into the future. So I would like to really encourage our listeners to focus on the moment, the here and now. And no matter how tough your gauntlet run is at the moment, know that it comes to an end. It always does. All negative cycles come to an end. The same as when we go through really positive cycles, we need to review, we need to reassess, we need to regroup and make sure that we're still growing in the right direction. So I would suggest trying what I did, which is, you know, catching myself in every moment, which means, you know, being very aware of what you're doing. And the gift that came from that, which I wasn't expecting at the time, is that it automatically got me to be present in the moment, in my body, in my life, in my space. And that was important. And then the next step from there is start cleaning up your environment. If it's the people in your environment who are running their gauntlets and making everyone else's life a living hell, and boundaries need to be set there, then don't be afraid to do it. You know, do what needs to be done, even though it may be tough in the moment of doing it. Be honest, be truthful, make the changes, and at the end of the day, you're going to benefit. You're going to manifest what you want because you're taking the steps. You're not wishing for this new life in your head, but in real time, you're not prepared to do what it takes to get it because, you know, that. Then you can't complain about your circumstances. If you, you know, not prepared to do what it takes, then stop complaining about it. Then just live with it.
Yes.
And that's the point I got to with myself. I had to tell myself, either shut up and stop complaining or do whatever it takes to change it. And that was the choice I made.
It's really conscious awareness about being a victim or victory consciousness.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what, Faith, the other thing that was major, and this is part of the whole cancer thing that happened, and I am still clear. I had my blood test last week, by the way. My blood test came back clear, so I'm clear of
wow.
the cancer.
Congratulations.
So I'm still doing
that's
my
awesome.
Yes. So.
Yay.
So, and my doctor has put me down to one drip a week. It's not two drips a week anymore, so my poor veins can now start resting. So, but it's been a process of having to also be brutally honest with myself. No more bullshit. You know, it is. You look at yourself in the mirror and you go, okay, you know. What am I doing here? Looking yourself in the eyes and in the face and being 100% real with yourself, you have no idea what that does to you. It also just creates such change. And these are all the things I've done over these 6 months. And I would say, Faith, getting completely real with yourself, brutally transparent with yourself, that's probably going to be one of the most scariest things you'll ever do, because once you realize how you lie to yourself and how through lying to yourself you indirectly lie to others, but you're living that lie because you believe it yourself and then suddenly you see it's a lie you've created yourself, you step back and you go, oh my God, what have I been doing? And then you start getting real with yourself and honest with yourself, then everything changes. Nothing can ever be the same again. And that's a level of challenge that we also need to embrace on this path to becoming aware, to being one with our avatar essence. And an avatar is a divine teacher in physical manifestation. And I want to be the avatar of my life. I want to be the divine teacher incarnation who has completely mastered everything that I am supposed to be teaching. And the only way that I can teach is leading by example. So therefore, I'm just going to keep on, you know, going the next level, going the next level. And when enough of us are doing that, the energy that is going to gain momentum just by us doing that is going to gain such strength and power that it will not have to be 7 billion people feeling like us in order to save the world. It could possibly be, I don't know, 100 million, and our energy and our sense of what we're feeling is so strong that that will be enough to completely turn the consciousness of the planet as we move over to the new world. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how many people are needed, but I certainly know it's not going to be billions. This energy is so, so powerful that it will be able to transform that darkness. Maybe it's 144,000. Maybe it's more than 144,000. I don't know. But maybe it is only 144,000 of us that feel this level of what we are feeling and going through this level of sincere, authentic, bona fide, 100% real healing, that is the 144,000. So, yeah, we are speculating.
Well,
I have no idea. But
well, this whole conversation has been very uplifting, because sometimes when you're going through a difficult time, I've said it before, I'll say it again, there's nothing like having someone that can relate. There's so much power and healing in the, wow, me too. But this is constructive. You know, this is giving ideas on, you know, well, first of all, the truth about what the purpose of this deep dive does. It really is there to relieve you and release you. But I think that understanding that it is an opportunity to see where love can be is, it's just so important. It's everything, you know. Otherwise, you know, that's the journey. That's to find that here. And to remember that you really did plan to come here and to rise above what's in your chart. It's not to do you in. I think that this was, I hope it helped people today. And just because it may be a difficult time for me, it doesn't mean that I've lost sight of understanding all of it. You got to give yourself a chance for the heart to catch up to the intellect. Sometimes the intellect knows better, you know. And I remember years ago praying with, working with my guardian angel, saying, can you please help me close that gap between where my heart is and where my head knows I need to be? Can you? Can we move that along a little bit? That reconciliation, you know, and give yourself the space for that, right? I think that's very key. And the law of purpose is what you've talked about, really. It's this moment has a purpose. And no one's guaranteed tomorrow. So how do you look at your life? You know, the law of ascension even has in there, you know, write your obituary. It sounds awful, but isn't that effective? Think, it really gets you to really think about things in a new light. And then you can start to see what you really do appreciate and maybe take for granted about yourself, and Mercury is going to really give you that opportunity to see how you're fooling yourself, so into where your authentic self is just yearning to get out. It, you know, really, this is, it's a very deep dive, and it's uncomfortable, but it really is an amazing opportunity that will come out of it. So don't give up. Hang in there. email me if you just need somebody to so you feel heard. I'm faith@faithparent.net, and know you're not alone. And join the Palace of Peace Facebook page or mine, Heartlight Communications. We're here to help each other. So I appreciate your openness, Michelle, and being willing to talk about how things affect you and what you do to make things work. I think that's important. So thank you.
Thank you, Faith. And thank you for always, you know, really extracting the wisdom from my journey. And as I say, it's good to be able to share my field experience. It makes everything worthwhile. So thank you, everyone, for taking the time to listen to us. Our time is up already. So we'll be back with you next week, and we'll be looking at some more topics to help all of you along with the emails that we've been getting in terms of asking questions. And we hope to keep it along the lines that are empowering you and really just encouraging you to continue. So as Faith said, feel free to email us, and we'll see you same time, same place next week. Thank you, Faith. Take care.
Thank you, Michelle.
You have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.